Eye on the Arctic, views from the north. I'm Elish Quinn. Well, the changing Arctic climate has opened up business and economic opportunities in everything from resource development to shipping. Now, Arctic tourism is also becoming an increasingly lucrative as interest grows in this remote part of the world. And while local Arctic communities can certainly benefit economically from this growing industry, a new blog on the World Policy Institute website, that's a US-based think tank, suggests more attention should be paid to the environmental and social impacts of Arctic tourism. And joining us now to help us better understand some of these issues is Erica Dingman. She's a fellow at the World Policy Institute and director of their Arctic in Context program, and she joins me on the line today from New York. Hello, Erica Dingman.
Hello, Elish. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, thank you for joining us. And so this blog post was titled Discovering the Arctic, and it focuses specifically on the cruise industry. And just to set things up for our listeners, tell us just a little bit about how this industry has evolved in the Arctic over the last few years.
Yes, it's not new, actually. Like exploration of the Arctic, tourism is not new. It actually started in the 1890s, but as Jana De Filippis wrote, there's been quite an increase recently.
And are we seeing this just in the North American Arctic, or are we seeing it sort of all over the circumpolar north?
It's certainly all over the circumpolar north, but just to give you an idea, for instance, in Alaska, since between 2011 and 2013, there's been an increase of 12%. Which makes cruise tourism accountable for just under 1 million people annually. It has become actually the second most popular destination behind the Caribbean.
And this is quite significant. What are the main concerns that we should be looking at in terms of how the cruise industry is affecting the environment in the north or could affect the environment in the north as we go ahead?
There's better standards, and certainly people are becoming more cognizant of it. But there's a handful of companies, for instance, which follow sort of self-imposed best practices. That is, tourism that strives to be especially sensitive to the environment and to the culture of the indigenous peoples. But then there's, the unintended consequences, such as the accident in 2010 when the MV Clipper ran aground just off the shores of Nunavut. Initially, it was reported as an uncharted rock, but later that was found to be untrue, and it was a known hazard. And then there's the other issue of high-volume tourism, which cases... they use a lot of energy, they create a lot of waste, laws have been enacted, but they don't necessarily, completely prohibit waste disposal.
How well are laws and regulations keeping up with the increased volume that we're seeing in the north?
Slowly, really. The volume is increasing, as the sort of the case with Alaska sort of shows us. But the laws are sort of very slow to come into practice. And in other cases, there's also the issue of the greenhouse gas emissions, which are, which are emitted from the ships as they travel through. And that's increased, the more tourism there is, the more the increase in greenhouse gas emissions.
And you mentioned earlier that there were a couple of cruise companies that that were doing a good job. What are they doing differently that you might like to see other companies look at?
Certainly in the case of there's a couple of the smaller cruise ships that are much more sensitive to the cultural practices. And as opposed to, they try to educate the visitors to help dispel the myths. So the tourists have a better idea as to what is going on. When that's not the case, what's happening is the tourists go around and they take photographs without asking permission beforehand, and they're not necessarily culturally aware of the different local hunting practices and the hunting culture and stuff like that.
So even beyond environmental issues, we're talking there are cultural impacts to this industry as well.
Yes, definitely. You know, there's a, you know, on one hand, there's sort of an opportunity to educate visitors, but on the other hand, if the cruise lines aren't as cognizant of it, they don't make a point of, you know, of education and things like that.
And then to wrap up, what would you, as someone that's been, you know, looked at this, what would you like to see done to help mitigate the environmental and cultural impacts of cruise ships in the north? Do you think it's a question of better laws, enforcement? Do you think it's a question of limiting the number of people that could travel to a given region? You know, what would you like to see?
I think that we really need to be much more cognizant, and I think our lawmakers need to be much more, need to be faster at putting laws into effect. This needs to be done on the national level, but it also needs to be done on the regional and international level. The Arctic is a far different, you know, far different place than other places in the world, and the environment is very sensitive. I think that we need to speed things up a little bit.
Well, it's certainly a lot to think about, and we will post a link to the blog on our website for any of our listeners that want to read more about this issue. Erica Dingman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Elise.